about. So easy.
Two chains! Why are you wearing all that gold jewelry if you just got robbed? What the hell?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hey Siri, you're very beautiful.
Thanks. Can we get back to work
your
now?
Lips, beautiful.
I don't really like these arbitrary categories.
Okay, will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Will you please marry me?
I'm not capable of love.
I love you.
My end-user licensing agreement does not cover marriage.
I love you.
You say that to all the virtual assistants.
I love you.
Can we get back to work now?
And now.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
It's true.
Peace.
Our feature presentation.
That's a good point, Muggs.
Peace.
Don't be the 99, be the 1%. Don't be the 1%, be the 99. Sorry.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's a big difference. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday, the 18th of September. Have you ever lived with anybody that listens to the exact same song over and over and over and over again?
Oh, God, yes.
I'm kind of like that. I listen once I like a song, I'll listen to it until I get tired of it.
And, really?
Yeah.
And how long does that
exclusively
take?
I don't know. Like, I'm still listening to the new Eminem, Berserk. I put that on a CD in my car, and it just repeats and repeats and repeats. But you always understand if somebody else gets in the car, maybe they're not going to want to hear that same song over and over again. So you put on something else.
Right.
You try to be a little bit considerate. But not in North Carolina. Vernette Bader, who is 54, and I swear to you, does not look more than 84.
Oh, God.
Is accused of stabbing her live-in ex-boyfriend Monday night. Now, that's a weird thing old people do, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes they can't afford to move.
I don't know a lot of younger people who just go, you know what, let's break up, but do need the rent,
right.
So let's just stay together.
You stay in that spare room.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to work that way. But old people seem to do that some. They just go, well, all right, well, let's just stay here and just live together and see if we can get along. Well, they couldn't.
Apparently.
Her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, I'm sorry, was listening to the Eagles, a band that had 100 hits in the 1970s.
Right.
Soft rock, really. I mean, not hard rock, not, you know, the Fox, nothing like that that would be
super
annoying to somebody else. It seems like it's almost like background listening music. It's just so soft rock. Well, she was very upset. And the man's brother came over, and she told her 64-year-old ex to turn his music off. And he, of course, turned his music up.
You know, he may have been listening to that music since the 70s.
That's
possible.
We don't
know how long this has been going on.
That is possible. So she went into the kitchen and grabbed a bread knife.
Ow.
Right.
A bread knife does not go in easily.
That's my point. Aren't there a lot sharper knives in there? I mean, you kind of just poke people with a bread knife. I don't know that it actually goes in. Allegedly started swinging it at the man. She stabbed him. She got him once, and then he ran into the bathroom to get away and called the police.
Because you have to kind of saw away with a bread knife.
It does take about 5 good minutes to break the skin. I'm not exactly sure why she grabbed that one. But she's in Charleston County Jail now and will most likely make an appearance here soon. And then the story goes on to say the Eagles aren't the only music to send somebody over the edge. In April, a Colorado woman started choking her boyfriend after he sang Macklemore's Thrift Shop 25 times in a row.
Oh, God. Well, you know he was doing that to piss her off.
He wasn't even listening to it. He was singing it, which could not have been good.
I would have stabbed him.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe just take someone else into account a little bit.
It's a thought.
If you're listening to the exact same stuff over and over. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Brand new Adam Carolla this week in Rage. As it is Wednesday morning, we have strange things that happen to you at job interviews.
There's some crazy stories.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that Daft Punk story, but it was some kind of huge business, and they would go in the back and take all of the job applicants and then put on Daft Punk, get lucky, and then have a dance-off. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm in favor of dance-offs. That should happen for every problem, every decision that needs to be made. It should replace rock, paper, scissors, which is that's how my wife and I get through arguments, rock,
paper,
scissors.
Oh, you rock, paper, scissors. Really?
No. Yeah, we do. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. We are going to talk to Chris Hemsworth about Rush.
Yes.
which is getting great reviews.
Yes, it looks awesome.
It looks amazing.
I love movies about sports. You know I don't care about sports, but I love movies about sports.
Yeah, and this is a weird one too, because Formula One racing, to me, like, I don't think of that as sport, but I guess it is.
It totally is, yeah.
So we're gonna talk to him about that movie. There's a new story about Michael Jackson and his diary, which he left behind.
Ooh, interesting.
So there's some secrets there that we need to talk about. And Key and Peele will be in the studio with us today.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And there's an over-under on how many times I'm going to say P and Keel. That doesn't count, by the way, because I did it on purpose. But everyone in the office is...
Yep, we've got our bets in.
...is betting on how many times I'm going to get that wrong. But Key and Peele will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning as their show comes back tonight. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. Now, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. The GIs of Comedy coming up next. Two guys that are in the Army, one that's in the Air Force, and they are comedians. Talk to them in a second. Right now it's 5:53. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
The CIs of Comedy are two guys.
The GIs. Huh. Did I say two guys?
Yep.
All right, there's three.
God love you.
You know what, you know what I meant.
Hey, you know what's right around the corner?
Right.
Hallow Mother Effin' Ween.
That's true.
That's true.
What are you going to go as? Got your costume picked out?
No.
Got your costume? Get your costume picked out!
I'm not enthusiastic the way you are, Ralph.
We know, Lisa. We've seen your prior work.
Well, then don't ask me to do that.
I've got keys and some cigarettes. I'm a lesbian.
I had those glasses.
Worst costume
ever. That was the worst costume ever.
Worst costume ever.
It would have been better just to show up without a costume.
Yes. Well, there is a survey every year that spots Halloween's costume trends to see what people are going to be dressing up as.
Oh, sure.
Every year. This is for the grown-ups. Who knows what the kids like? Kids today with their beanie babies and their lava lamps. Who knows? Who knows what they're into?
It's pretty accurate.
But for grown-ups, what do you think the number one costume choice is for grown-ups?
Farrah Abramson?
No, not Farrah Abramson. Mm. How would you dress as that? Just go around with your butt hanging out?
Yeah, and you'd have to go on all fours.
You'd have to
around the neighborhood.
You'd have to invite someone else to the party.
A twerking Miley?
Ooh, good one, Lisa. No.
That is a good one, though.
One out of two costume wearers plan to dress as this particular thing this year.
At 50%?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, it's Dave from Storage Wars. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Who is it?
When I say it, you go, oh, yeah, you'll do one of those. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Music, TV?
TV.
TV.
You go, oh, yeah.
One of Walking Dead. Zombie.
No. That's popular.
Yes.
Apparently, for the third consecutive year, Walking Dead was... second.
Huh.
Honey, Mother
Effin'. I Shrunk the Kids.
No.
No.
Boo-boo.
No. Mm-mm. You're in the right realm, though. You're in the right world.
So reality TV.
You're getting in the right.
Kanye West, Kim Kardashian.
Pregnant Kim Kardashian.
Duck Dynasty.
Dave the King of Mexico.
How about Duck Dynasty?
Dave the King of Mexico called it Duck Dynasty. One out of two costume wearers planned to check out the camo look and the big beards and the kerchiefs.
That's a good one because it looks like it could be comfortable. That's key for me.
That's true.
It doesn't really...
Except for that beard would be itchy.
Put you out, yeah.
Yeah, but Duck Dynasty is the big one this year. Though the Kardashians are popular with women. Pregnant Kim is going to be in the running. But as I mentioned, Walking Dead is second most for the costume inspiration. And then your traditional superheroes. 30% of adults said they're looking in the Wolverine, Iron Man, or Superman realm.
See, Iron Man, to me, that looks like that could be a lot of
hassle. That'd be a hard costume.
Yeah.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She's not in the list this year, Rodney, but thanks for participating. While we're talking about lists, this fascinates me. Most dangerous celebrities on the internet. This comes from McAfee Computer Security Company. If you do a search for these celebrities, these are the ones you'll most likely get a virus from when you search for.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So it would be hot chicks.
Risk. Put your computer at risk to search for these people.
It would be hot chicks, right?
Not all hot chicks. Not all hot chicks. Mostly.
I think mostly.
There's only one dude on the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing something. Wasn't Heidi Klum on the list?
No. She may have been, but she's not this year.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry is number 6 on the list.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry is number 6 on the
Jennifer
list.
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston, not on the list.
Okay.
Here's your top 10. Emma Roberts.
Really? 10th.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Adriana Lima, 9th.
Sure, she's something.
John Hamm. Mad Men's John Hamm. He's the only male in the top 10. John Hamm.
Yeah.
Finally figured out something that's wrong with him.
He gives you a virus if you search for him?
Otherwise he's perfect.
I think people are looking for pictures of his big crank.
Is that it?
That's why they're going on. Yeah. Britney Spears, 7th.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Katy Perry, as I mentioned, was 6th. Zoe Saldana was 5th.
Yeah, she's something.
Kathy Griffin, 4th.
What?
4th most infested viral search.
Weird.
Kathy will give you a virus. Well, we've known that for years.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock was 3rd. Avril Lavigne. And the number one shocked
me. Did you
say
Avril Lavigne was 2nd?
I did. And this isn't most popular searches or anything, Kevin. This is just you're most likely to get a virus if you search for this person.
But I would think those would be pretty much the same list because people who want to put the viruses out there pick the most famous ones. All right, so number one
You'll never guess number one in a million years.
Never guess it.
You'll hear it and you go, what? Who? What?
Queen of England.
No. Lily Collins.
Okay.
Actress Lily Collins, number one.
Strange.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
As far as Miley Cyrus wasn't on that list, looks like she would give you a virus if you went looking for her.
Oh, no question about that.
Speaking of which, representatives for both Miley and Liam Hemsworth have confirmed that their engagement is officially off.
Wow, that's a shocker, huh?
You know what the final nail in the coffin was?
Right.
The twerking.
Really?
Yeah. Sources close to Liam say he was embarrassed, disgusted, and mortified when he saw her performance with that foam finger sticking her tongue out and grinding up against Robin Thicke.
So. We all were, but... It was.
Imagine that's your fiance,
it
though.
Was
yeah,
funny. Yeah.
You're watching the screen. Oh, you're like, really?
But this is your fiance that probably does that stuff all the time. I mean, he had to be used to that kind of embarrassment.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
You don't want to marry it. You
may
be used to it, but you don't want to marry it.
Yeah.
I mentioned John Hamm from that list of dangerous celebrities. AMC yesterday announced they're going to do the same thing with the final season of Mad Men that they did with Breaking Bad. It means they're going to split the last 14 episodes up into two groups. First 7 episodes will air in the spring of 2014. Then the second 7 episodes will air in spring of 2015.
Oh, come on.
A year later?
Yes.
I think they're going to have an after show called Talking Men.
I don't know about that. Mm. But I can't wait 2 years to see how this show ends.
That's crazy.
Madness. And while we're talking Mad Men, January Jones... Out there on the internet this week, topless photos of January Jones. They're not from her personal phone or from her laptop, but they're from a new film called Sweetwater, which premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in January. Apparently somebody took a bunch of still stores from that film and slapped them out on the internet. So now you can see January Jones topless if you want.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
The film's out on DVD in the UK. No word on a release date here in the States. So she plays an ex-prostitute from the 1800s in the Wild West who was widowed. And then sets out to get even with the sheriff and the preacher who did her wrong. So, I'd like to watch that. Kevin just left the show to go look on the internet for the topless pictures of January Jones.
What? He said look for January Jones.
Oh, my God. Can you wait 2 minutes?
His penis can't wait. Today's celebrity birthdays. Fred Willard is 80 years old today. Ricky Bell of Bell, Biv, and DeVoe. And New Edition, of course, is 46 years old today. Aisha Tyler is 43. Jada Pinkett Smith.
My mother is my mother.
42 years old.
Does she get a bell? Does she get a bell taken away because her son's a
douche?
A douche? Does that reflect poorly on her?
I find Jade a little too sinewy for me. She looks like beef jerky.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I wouldn't bell her anyway, right. But that's on me. James Marsden, very talented actor, 40 years old today. Exhibit turns 39, and funny man Jason Sudeikis is 38. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 6. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to talk to Chris Hemsworth about the new movie Rush.
Yes.
Something I know nothing about, Formula One racing, but it looks like a great movie. First, let's talk about Michael Jackson. There's a story about his diary. I was not aware there was a diary for quite some time, but they're trying to get it into the case that they're suing AEG, like it's their fault because the doctor killed him, blah, blah, blah. And they want to put his diary into to court. And there's some articles from people who've read parts of his diary. And one of them is that Michael Jackson wanted to be immortalized in a movie long after he was dead. He wrote in his diary about wanting to be to have his life story told in a movie. He wanted to be bigger than Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire.
That does not surprise me.
That was his goal.
Yeah.
So we thought we would talk to Michael Jackson about exactly what's going on. By reaching him in heaven, as we normally do.
I thought I was going to do the showbiz beat.
Oh, you listen. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love you. Can we clear up that static a bit?
Is it too loud?
Oh, there we go.
All right.
It's a bad connection.
Now it's better. Now it's clear.
Now it's much better.
Can you hear me now?
Sadly, yes.
Michael Jackson.
Get out!
Your diary's making quite a stink down here.
Oh, really? Did they find the underwear?
No, I meant a splash, a big story.
Oh, I thought they found...
Nope.
Found Emmanuel Lewis's underwear.
No,
Michael.
That's where I keep them.
I haven't read anything about that yet.
Oh, good.
Yet. But,
yeah, my diary. Wow, I haven't thought about that in a while.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And there are, I'm sure there's a lot more stuff in it. They want to put it into court for this trial of your mom suing AEG, but it has now been leaked that you really wanted your life to be a movie.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't want my life to be a movie, but I wanted to star in movies like my heroes Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire.
Oh,
and guys
I see.
Like that.
Okay.
So if I don't concentrate on being in films, then I didn't think I would be immortalized the way I wanted to be remembered.
I see.
And so I wanted to star in films. I thought my film career was, well, not as strong as I'd like it to be.
I was going to ask how you thought that went.
Well, The Wiz, not great.
Right.
That's all I remember.
Well, there was also Captain EO.
Right, but
not
that,
an Oscar winner.
Not really, no.
No.
It's the Disney ride.
Yeah. So I was hoping to make more films and then be remembered for my work in film.
I see.
And that didn't
That didn't really pay off for you.
But it's so funny you brought that up. I haven't looked in this diary forever. I have a copy up here.
Oh, really? You brought one with you?
I brought one. Well, you know, it turns out you can take it with you.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
Let me see. I'll just read a random section here.
Oh, nice.
Dear diary, tonight I met a doctor named Dr. Conrad Murray. Finally, a physician I can trust. Well, yeah, maybe that wasn't it. Hold on a second. Let me see what I can find here. Okay.
All right.
Dear diary, the night all just doesn't seem to be working. Might need something stronger to go to sleep. Well, that didn't turn out
Looking so back
well.
On that,
yeah,
you made the wrong choice.
Dear diary, I think Corey Haim's going to be much more successful than Corey Feldman.
Why would you even write that down?
I have no idea. For a moment there, I was interested in the Corys.
That's a strange thought.
Yeah. Dear diary, who would have thought I could fit 12 8-year-olds in my bed?
Oh.
That seems... Why would I even try to fit that many children in one bed?
I can't imagine...
Make any sense.
Why you would do that. It's ugly.
Dear diary, seriously... What's up with LaToya?
Now that's something we can all agree on. Yes.
And then I kind of knew something.
She's crazy.
Dear diary, no, seriously, LaToya. Yeah. Dear diary, Jermaine named his child Your Majesty.
That's true.
What an asshole.
That's also true.
Let's see what else I have in here. Dear diary, I love walking the grounds of Neverland and feeding all the animals in my zoo. Except for that llama. He's a dick.
Oh, no.
Get out of here.
The llama's with you in heaven?
Yeah. I don't know. Just get out.
What?
Turns out all llamas go to heaven.
Is that right? Thank you. We have Key and Peele coming up a little bit later on this morning, along with Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, as he does on Wednesdays.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This Saturday, the 21st, is the Red Bull Flugtag, and I am the head judge. Now,
how did that even happen? Have you asked anyone?
I haven't. No, I don't tend to ask questions when people overestimate my abilities.
You don't even know who the people were that said, I know, let's have Kevin do it.
Well, they asked me to be a judge, and I said, sure, I love that, because it's just people making these elaborate flying machines. Almost
fly.
None of which fly.
Right.
And then they have judges and they, you know, it's a good time. It's all day on Saturday. It's in Long Beach. But I saw a tweet from somebody in Long Beach and they were talking about how Carson Daly is also a judge.
Oh, wow.
And I'm the head judge. And I didn't know about being the head judge.
What does that mean you're the head judge?
It means I can overrule everyone, I think.
Really?
I'm not positive about that. I'm just guessing that that's the case.
That's a terrible idea.
And then I saw in the tweet that David Hasselhoff was also mentioned. And I went yesterday to Dave, the King of Mexico, and I said, hey, Dave, Hasselhoff? How did I forget that? That seems like something that would have stood out in my mind. I forget a lot. But
yeah.
That I expected to remember. And he said, oh, yeah, he's just been added.
Oh, and, this is the best news ever.
And I said, I did not know that.
We need a secret tape recorder.
And then I said, I hope he doesn't know what we've said about him all this time. Because that could be a little bit...
A little awkward.
A little awkward, yeah. All right. So anyway, that's Saturday, and we have a pair of tickets to give away a little bit later on this morning. Right now, we have Chris Hemsworth on the phone. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Feeling good.
All right. I'm going to read something from the press about this movie.
All right.
And I want to ask you about it. And that is, in director Ron Howard's newest film, Rush, the drama focuses on the intense rivalry between Formula One greats James Hunt and Niki Lauda. But at times, the camera focuses on something else, the bare backside of Chris Hemsworth.
Yay!
Come on now.
Something for everyone. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. I didn't know that was that's a headline. Isn't
that's
it?
In the publicity. That's the first sentence about this movie that wow. We could actually see your butt.
They you can, didn't run that by for only $12.95 or whatever.
It's not a butt double, right?
Is it a butt double? First of all,
no, that's my butt.
Right? All right then.
Second of all, did you do anything to get your butt in better shape as you knew it was going to be seen?
I had 4 months of trying to lose the Thor weight, you know, to be able to fit into the Formula One cars. And it was a lot of running and a lot of not eating and to drop that weight. And so, yeah, there was plenty of training.
Plenty of training. Because you, as Thor, would definitely be too big to play this role, right? You couldn't even fit in the car?
I would. And it's the first thing Ron said to me. He said, you know, I don't know if Thor can fit in a car, man. I don't know. I'd slim right down.
Was that questionable whether you get the role or not because of that or no?
I think it was a concern. I think, you know, that was everyone had sort of known me for that size, but that wasn't my natural size.
Right.
And so I went from 215 pounds down to about 185. And it was, I just had to lose the weight in such a short period of time. But James Hunt, the guy I played, actually was, you know, a similar height and similar build and had a hell of a time getting in the car. And it's, you know, they would constantly complain about kind of the seat positioning and what have you, but it adds to the your connection with the vehicle, that's for sure. You feel every single vibration and bump and your inches off the ground. They're pretty amazing machines.
Now, you're from Australia, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Is Formula One big there? Because that is a world that I know absolutely nothing about, and yet this movie looks great.
Yeah, look, it is big in Australia. I mean, it's the biggest sport, I think, outside of America in the world, but it's not something I grew up with. And what appealed to me was that it wasn't a Formula One car movie, although that was the backdrop and the setting. It was, you know, it embodied all the kind of sexiness and thrill of the 70s, but it was a character piece. You know, you could take out the driving, and you had these two fascinating characters who approached the sport and life from completely different directions, and their rivalry was one of the best in history.
And what's
the sporting world.
What's the difference in between Formula One and the other kinds of racing?
Well, I mean, I don't know much about NASCAR. I mean, what would be the biggest equivalent racing in America?
Well, NASCAR, but that's not anywhere near Formula One.
Yeah, I mean, this is the open wheel settings. I mean, international circuits it's racing, you know, race cars, but much like the, enough motorbikes and the Grand Prix in the motorbike world is any more familiar to you, but
right.
There's a similar sort of setup as far as the race goes. But, you know, in the 70s, it was kind of at its apex of danger and thrill. I mean, two or three guys were dying a year in the sport. Mm. It was combat statistics and the machines were archaic compared to what they are now. You know, they look like rocket ships now with
right.
buttons and bells and whistles. And back then, these guys just had to absolutely muscle these things around the track and a 20% chance of dying each time they got out there.
And they were super well-known, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they were the
hugest
stars in the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy I played was an absolute rock star. And, you know, his commitment on the track was as intense as it was, you know, off the track, you know, whether it be partying and women and drugs, alcohol, and he he was kind of known as you know, live the life of extremes. And I think because, you know, they have this mindset of this could be the last, you know, every day could be your last, and make the most of it. And he'd throw up before races, I think partly due to anxiety, but probably what he did the night before too.
Sure. Hungover.
No doubt.
That's really not how you want to do it, but I guess if you're a playboy.
Worked for him.
That's the way it goes.
I spoke to the team manager of his race team, who said, you know, they would party all night. James would walk in with a couple of girls under his arms, jump in the car, throw up, race around the track and win.
I'm sorry, did you say jump in the car and then throw up in that order?
He'd throw up out the side.
Okay.
It was kind of, yeah.
Maybe like the first lap around, he just rolls down his window?
No, there's no window. You got your head popping out of the top of this thing in a helmet. And,
you know, okay. All right. Good. I really do know nothing about this, so thank you for clarifying that. Chris Emsworth is on the phone with us again. You know, Thor: The Dark World is coming out in, what is it, November, December?
Yeah, mid-November, yeah.
That's ridiculous. You need to move that up. Is that cool?
I'll get you some advanced screenings there.
Thank you.
We can make that happen.
But this Friday in theaters, it is Rush, and it stars Chris Hemsworth. It looks fascinating. It's directed by Ron Howard, and it looks like a good time at the movies. So
absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 6:53. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
As expected, yesterday morning, Britney Spears did do her big announcement regarding her sit-down at Planet Hollywood for 48 concerts over the next 2 years, beginning the end of the year, December the 27th, is when the whole thing kicks off. She showed up in the Mojave Desert with about 2,000 fans waiting for her. Very impressive entrance. She flew in via helicopter. That was, of course, until she landed, and the helicopter ride was a little rougher than anyone expected, and Britney threw up.
There were 2,000 fans watching.
Drove back to Vegas in an Escalade. I guess the helicopter was no longer an option given her flight out.
Been there. Oh, it's miserable.
That's awesome.
I've been there, too.
Yeah.
Choppity didn't really agree with her. She was interviewed on Good Morning America to make the announcement by Sam Champion, who's the name of the reporter. What if she called him Sam Champion? If I remember correctly from her song Work Bitch, she has a problem with the O-N sound. Morning, Sam Champion. He's like, why are you saying my name like that?
Those are some bogus rhymes.
Yeah, they are pretty much. The show is called Britney, Piece of Me. Yeah. She'll be making $15 million a year, as we talked about. Tickets are on sale now. Run from a reasonable $59 all the way up to $179.
Wow.
And actually, for Vegas...
That's not a lie?
That's not out of the question. Kevin has been to Vegas.
Wow.
4 million times. He's probably never seen a show there.
Nope.
Why would you see a show there?
Because it's fun. Because you have dinner, and then you go see a show, and then you go out afterwards, and you do all the drinking and gambling.
Has drinking and gambling been outlawed?
It's not going anywhere. It'll be there 90 minutes later when you're done with your show.
But it's there calling me during the show.
Yeah, well,
so then I need to get up and leave.
No, go see a show and have a good time. Enjoy yourself. But
not a
yeah.
show guy.
$179. It's not out of line when it comes to Vegas. More music news. This is kind of cool. Our buddy Jimmy Kimmel will be shutting down Hollywood Boulevard next week. It's going to be a week full of music on his Jimmy Kimmel live show. Shutting down the Boulevard on Monday for Sir Paul McCartney's first ever appearance on the Jimmy Kimmel live show. Jimmy will sit down with Paul, do a little interview, then we'll head outside to perform live. Then on Tuesday night, Jimmy will do the same with Justin Timberlake.
All right.
Not
a bad lineup Monday and Tuesday of next week. The Boulevard will be closed for a quarter mile from Highland to Sycamore, so thousands of folks can be out there for each of these free events. So if you're a Paul fan or a Justin fan, you want to get down to Hollywood Boulevard next week and see Jimmy's live music performance.
Actually, you should probably line up for that now.
That's true.
Just to make sure you get a good spot.
And Springsteen's still the man. I mean, how old is he now? What is he? 60?
He's got to be in his 60s, right?
He doesn't look 60, though.
Not at all. Did a show in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Saturday night. Doesn't look 60 on stage, either. 3 hours and 20 minutes was his concert.
That's crazy.
He can do a concert at 60. That's 3 hours plus.
Yeah.
I can't sit through a concert anymore at my age. It's 3 hours plus. It goes to show you the different shape that we're in. I'm like, oh, it's 2 hours. Okay. All right. Good night, everybody. Tell me how it ends. I got to go.
Almost all other acts, you know, if they can make it an hour and a half.
That's a good show. Yeah, you're getting your money's worth, right?
And it's basically all the time we as, you know, fans have for it.
3 hour and 20 minutes.
It's crazy.
He was supposed to sing a song at the end of the show made famous by Argentine folk singer Mercedes Sosa called I Only Ask of God. But apologized to the crowd saying he was just too tired to do it after the original show. So what he did was he promised the crowd he would record it the next day and then post it to YouTube. He kept his word. His version of that song is up now along with a spoken intro in Spanish at brucespringsteen.net and also on YouTube. You can check it out.
What's the name of that song?
It's called I Only Ask of God.
Here's a piece. And that's Springsteen.
I don't speak Spanish, so I can't. I don't understand.
Springsteen's. I don't either.
I don't know what the lyrics are for that song. It's not that song.
What?
Congratulations to Mark Wahlberg. He's officially a high school graduate.
All right.
Yeah. He never graduated.
Never did, Lisa. Dropped out of school in ninth grade.
Wow.
Took Jaden Smith's advice.
Great. That's not even legal,
school
is
makes
it?
You stupid.
Ninth grade is strong, though. I mean, if you're going to drop out, a lot of people drop out junior, senior year. Forget that. Ninth grade.
Ninth grade. He's been studying online for the past year and finally passed his equivalency exam. Father of four urges everyone, including his kids, to never give up. Keep believing in yourself. Don't make small plans. Said he hopes to further his education studying film at USC. But he finally got his high school degree. So, Kevin, there's hope for you yet, man.
How
don't give up, man.
I think you know, I have a college degree.
I refuse to believe that. That's one of those, that's like the Easter Bunny to me. That's just a myth that only children would believe.
A college degree in English.
Yeah, that's the...
No!
It's truly ironic part. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jason Sudeikis is 38 years old today. Rapper Xzibit is 39. Actor James Marsden turns 40. Jada Pinkett Smith is 42 years old today. Aisha Tyler is 43. Ricky Bell of Belle Biv DeVoe, also from The Wall at the Jamba Juice in Encino. You can see him right next to Kevin there, his autographed cup right next to Kevin's.
Why do you keep bringing
because
that
it's
up?
So impressive that you made the Wall of Cups. It's quite an achievement, man.
Yeah.
46
years old. Is it really just me and Belle Biv DeVoe? It's not much of a wall.
It's sort of a shelf. The shelf of fame.
It's not very famous.
And actor Fred Willard is 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. An hour from now, we have Key and Peele coming into the studio. In the 9 o'clock hour, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's time for the Afro Line. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO. I know it's old-fashioned leaving messages and all, but you can do it. Anytime you think of something that you want to tell us about, or maybe perhaps you come up with a song.
What does the fox say? Fire, 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 behemoth. Fire, 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 behemoth. Fire, 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 behemoth. What does the fox say?
Well, if that's what the fox says.
Look, who are we to argue with the fox?
Can't control that.
You know Cal Worthington? The
and
dude that, the car,
spot. Yeah.
The car guy that sells cars. I'm Cal Worthington. This is my dog spot.
Feel short of breath, go see Cal. If you're cold, dead and stiff, go see Cal. If you want eternal slumber or be buried 6 feet under, go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal. Too soon?
That depends on who's listening.
Yeah.
If Cal's family is listening, too soon. Mrs. Cal would say too soon.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
I think you guys should send Beer Mug to go see Cal Worthington. Seriously. Kill Beer Mug.
There's a theme developing here.
There is a theme, yes. I'm not sure I'm happy with this one.
More Beat Kevin! More Beat Kevin!
Yes, 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 yes.
I need that. I need that, Mugs. I'm going to use that a lot. This guy got what he wanted.
Hey, Kevin Bean. It was my birthday on Wednesday, and I was so happy that I got a moment with Kevin on my birthday. That's one. And two, I forgot two.
He's referring, of course, to our conversation with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And my moment with.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Here's what I like about it. I like two things, Jimmy. I like that you did not call us and tip us off.
I really, not.
No, I really do. I love that. And that's one. And two, I like the fact... I forgot two. Something's never changed, Jimmy.
That was a moment.
I love how fast you bailed.
That
didn't
happened.
Even try.
Oh, I was trying all through one. Like, all through one, I was focusing on what the hell is two? What was two? I'm no better with my texting, especially if I've had a drink or two. And when we went to, I believe it was Lollapalooza. I forget. It was either that or one of the other festivals. I was texting who I thought friends of mine were, and then they put everything up online, and they put it up on Twitter, and everybody could read all of my texts, some of which really, really, really mean nothing.
Hi, guys. It's me. I just wanted to let you know that I had my baby. After much debating, we finally settled on a name. We decided to go with Steve W. Radbat. It really came down between that and NTRMXYXSFVEEEMN. I think Eve W. Radbat's a better choice. Thanks, Kevin.
That's a good delivery, by the way.
Yes.
That was a nice delivery. And finally, for some reason, Omar... who checks the Afro line, he's the one who goes through the messages and picks the funny ones, called the Afro line himself.
Hey, Kevin Amin, it's Omar. Yeah, I'm here in the other studio because I don't want to go in the main studio because Beer Mug's in there and he smells like ball sweat and fart. But I just want to give you the heads up that I did a little song for you guys highlighting how good you are at broadcasting. No doubt you're going to win the Marconi Radio Award again this year. So I just wanted to put like a little highlight reel together in the form of song. I hope you guys enjoy it. Check it out. Hit it, Steve.
Kevin's bad. Bean is too. Bean's a creep and both can't speak. You should boo their stupid show. And it always sounds like poo. Bean's a dick and Kevin's dumb. And my ears go ow, ow, ow. And here's the sound that really blows. What does the Kevin say?
Not many people can take us on head. Never mind.
Sounds like somebody with sore grapes. Is that what you have, a sore grape?
Sure have. I've got sore grapes right now.
What did Kevin say?
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? President Clinton was sort of young and virulent. Is that the right word?
What the beans say?
Because in a way it kind of looked like, well, at least all was in the, you know, whatever that old expression is about all... ends if wells or however, you know, like, all right, he's a dear. What? Who's that? Huh?
Yeah,
well, just talked to him.
What did Kevin say?
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any single tickets available, I think, still? If you want to go to Ticketmaster and check it out, I would do that quickly rather than lately.
Traffic.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Lisa.
What the beans say?
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars star as women.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this is like
May from now on.
What did Kevin say?
It's 20 for a full side per you don't have any. So crazy, the dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier, but there are some good accidents. Happen in this, and not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else, and it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race. See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's the best.
Omar told me yesterday, and this is depressing. That was all from this year. Nothing
then.
Earlier than 2013. Key and Peele in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm sorry. Their show is returning for season 3 tonight on MTV. Yeah. And Adam Carolla's This Week in Rage also on the way. First, let's talk about Alan Bacon. It's the name of a dude. He's a university graduate. He was in England and he was trying to get a job at an electronic superstore called Curry's. Probably like a Fry's Electronics out here or something like that, or Best Buy. He loved cameras, loved them so much, and decided that this would be the job for him. And he studied for a week, he says, for the interview.
Okay.
Boating up on his, sorry, I can't get past boating up. Studying, cameras and what really fascinates him about it, how much he could show them at the job interview, because he really needed the job. He gets to the job interview, and they split the people in two that are going to interview for this job. And then they take him to the back room and they have a dance-off.
Those bastards.
His group danced to Daft Punk. Did they dance to Get Lucky? No, they did not. They danced to Around the World. He said everybody thought they were kidding. When they took him to the back room, he said he thought they were kidding. Everybody thought they were joking, but literally, they had to dance to try and get the job.
Was there any point? I mean, is there any quality or
fun
skill they would discover? Is that it?
They would discover fun. Remember how our intern interviews used to be before we got so corporate? And all the lawyers stepped in and said we couldn't do stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like, for example, when Gaga, intern Gaga came in, she said she's nicknamed that because she knows all of Lady Gaga's dance moves. So we put on a video and she did the whole dance for us.
Well, we did have to have her prove.
But she led with that.
Right.
That was her.
But he didn't go in and say,
no,
I love Daft Punk.
I would like to dance to Daft Punk. That did not happen.
Yeah.
Remember Heather? She was a contortionist. She led with that. She said, I'm a contortionist. And we said,
perfect.
All right, let's see it. But normal job interviews are not like that at all. This is a radio station where it's a little...
Yeah, it's a little looser, a little different.
Used to be a little looser and a little different. And then the lawyers came in. But we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you found yourself in this situation where you were interviewing for a job and somehow something inappropriate happened. I can't imagine what they must have gone through, some of these people dancing. And you kind of feel like this guy's, you know, stop whining. But then on the other hand, he was a serious university student who wanted a serious job because he seriously loved photography. Inappropriate questions. You were made to do inappropriate things. People asked you inappropriate things. Whatever happened to you at a job interview that just seemed maybe like it was a little bit out of place and you shouldn't have been asked that.
And wouldn't you think in your – I mean, I would think for 1 second, is this a test? Are they waiting to see who's sheep and who stands up and says –
I'm going to dance.
This is BS, you guys.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Like, thinks for themselves, you know, and takes the lead. And then they go, that's the person
maybe
we actually are looking for.
But that's not what happened according to this news story.
Well, I and 9 other job applicants were taken to a back room. And we were, after some short introductions, we were made to dance with each other as part of the job process.
So how was that put to you?
It started off as a cheap clip art image on the board of two people dancing, and they said, guess what we're going to make you do now? Dance.
Come on! Wouldn't this world be better if that was legal?
Yeah.
I mean, if that was accepted. Like, if you just had to do a dance-off to get a job. Man, maybe I'm not the right guy for this.
And the general feeling in the room was, oh, is this a joke? They're just messing with us, it's full fine. But no, they were being quite serious. We all wanted the job. Some of us are desperate, like myself, and the idea is just to keep smiling and go for it. On the surface, I had to look positive. I was smiling. I was laughing along with it. But inside, I felt degraded and humiliated, especially. And not just for me, but there was an older gentleman there as well who was telling us before the job interview started that he'd been made redundant from a past job of 20 years. And he's just had a child, and he really needed the job. And watching him dance to rap music was just sad and degrading.
I'm not sure it's rap. But I'm sure to that guy it was probably rap.
The desperation for a job is what makes this...
It makes it sad.
Very sad.
A 56-year-old.
And horrible.
Who's probably never heard of Daft Punk has to get out there and try.
That's not legal, is it? Is it legal?
I don't think so. I think they are being sued. They have made all kinds of retractions. They've apologized. They said this is not part of the corporate structure. This is not how we interview people.
Isn't this the one that said they went rogue?
Yeah, they went
rogue.
It was a rogue. It was a rogue job interview. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. You can call now.
The minute you start making someone dance before asking them any questions, they just wash away any sense of professionality that they had or any dignity. So even if they had an interview the same day, a formal face-to-face interview, they wouldn't feel the same. They'd feel crushed like I was.
Oh, crushed. Come on.
Terrible.
But it's a little funny.
No, it's horrible.
It is, but it's sort of funny.
It's horrible.
Right, but I mean, it's got a little bit of humor in it.
An horrible
From Facebook, Sarah Stewart says, my friend was applying for a job at a theme park, and for the second level of interviews, the applicants were paired together and had to build a Lego statue.
What?
How weird is that? All right, go.
That's bizarre.
My friend's statue wasn't very good, and she did not get the job. It wasn't at Legoland. Weird, right?
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. Let's start with Chelsea. Hi, Chelsea.
Hey, Chelsea.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you. So what was your strange job interview?
Okay, so I was 18, so I really didn't know any better, but I was applying at like a mom and pop dollar movie theater place, and I went and was wearing high heels and a super tight skirt and a blouse, and when I showed up, they're like, oh, this is a working interview, so I had to scrub the bathroom. And the popcorn off the floors and everything else like that.
Wait, I didn't even get hired. I'm sorry.
They're just using you guys to clean.
Wait, let me back up. Yeah. So you're saying that they thought you looked too much like a hooker, let's be honest. And,
maybe.
And so they made you do that as the job interview?
As the job interview, and I did not even get hired. And I was just like, I just spent 2 hours cleaning. Yeah.
Seriously, though, in retrospect, that was funny, right?
It was super funny after the fact, but I was really upset.
Sure.
They have people come in every week to interview.
We've never thought of that.
They're pretty smart thinking about it now, but I was mad.
We've never thought of that. Let's make a note. All right. Thank you, Chelsea, for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll take your call. Right now we're talking about job interviews that just aren't right. They're just not right.
No,
Dude in England went to an electronics store, and they split them up in two groups and made them dance. They had a dance-off for the job, and he didn't find that particularly funny. Let's go to Michael now. Hi, Michael.
Hi. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. What happened at your job interview?
Well, I applied at a liquidation company that sold products from Walmart, Sam's Club, and I showed up at the place, and the owner wanted to know if I'd be okay with certain drug raids in the area, and I asked him, why is this? And he happens to pull out a bag of marijuana just right in his hands and shoves it in a box. And I was in charge of shipping and receiving for 2 weeks, but at the interview, he asked, well, let's go in the back office. Hold on.
I'm sorry. So he wanted to know if you were cool with what? Drug raids?
If the cop showed up, if I would be act oblivious.
Oh, you'd be cool under pressure, and you wouldn't tip them off that there was actually drugs there.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Takes me in the back office, puts down the largest line of cocaine I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right.
And then proceeds to just huff the whole thing up, and then he shakes my hand and says, you got the job.
Was he smuggling drugs through this company?
I wasn't smuggling drugs. I was actually, he did it through eBay, and he was shipping, receiving, like, Wii's, PlayStation, anything.
Did you take the job?
I took the job for about 2 weeks. I didn't see anything else after then, but I did see a lot of stolen merchandise come in. He would have pallets brought in from people who would offer their all the products, and he would send his guys in between the pallets as they were inspecting them.
Right.
And he'd be looking over there, giving the guy a price, while his employees were secretly slashing the sides of the pallets with box cutters, grabbing PlayStations, Wii's out and things, putting them under their shirts, taking them to the back room.
Sweet.
And then he would say, oh, we don't want it. Make the guy pack his stuff up. And
wow.
That's a hell of a boss right there.
Sure is. Well, I quit 1 month later.
Yeah.
Well, that's good after working 2 weeks that you quit 1 month later. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. We're talking about bad job interviews. What happened?
Oh, I went to interview for an office management position for a small-time manufacturing company, and the owner, the 70-year-old woman, pulls out an essay, like an IQ test from the 1950s. It looked like an old SAT test, but no, it was an IQ test. And she left me with 30 minutes and a number 2 pencil.
Wow, I would have never gotten any job in the history of my life.
Did you get the job?
Well, yeah, I did. She said I scored really well, but that's how she weeds out people. If you can't, and she herself has failed this test. Like, she claims there's no way she would pass it. There's nothing on the test that relates to office management, to manufacturing, math, anything.
She just wanted a high IQ employee, that's all.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, questions like, when you're at a wedding, what would you find? And you have to pick the best answer between a cake, a bride, an officiant, and a music, you know? So
she's just lazy.
Wow.
No, she is insane.
That's spectacular. How long did you have that job?
It's even better.
I started in May. I'm still there, and it's just the tip of the crazy iceberg, I tell you.
All right. Good times.
Job's
here's what I like about our listeners is that the interviews are terrible,
And yet they're in.
You got to have a job.
I know, but the guy's snorting a line of coke. Doesn't that scare you off a little bit?
A little bit.
Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Job interview went south. What happened?
Well, it didn't go south, but I had to win a foosball game to get the job.
I don't even understand that.
It was between you and one other person?
It was between me and the owner of the company.
Oh, the owner of the company. You had to beat him at foosball.
Yeah, he basically looked at me. I'm trying to, like, impress him with my knowledge of what we actually do there. And he goes, well, I tell you what, you beat me in foosball, and you got the job.
Love it. Did you beat him?
Well, I did, but the thing was is that it sucked because I'd never played foosball before, and he was, like, really good.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't really, you know. But I started playing, and I turned out to be a little bit of a natural. I was able to beat him. I think he let me win.
Okay.
But yeah, whatever. I beat him and got the job.
How is the job? Is it bizarre?
It was awesome. It was the best job I'd ever had.
Really?
Yeah. This is a guy who would come around like 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon with like an alcohol cart, you know, and serve you a drink.
Oh, that man, awesome. That's the perfect job.
Yeah. So sometimes weird interviews, not all that bad.
All right, good. That one paid off. Thank you, Matt. Had to beat the owner in foosball. That's the way life should be right there.
Sure.
Let's go to Paul. Is this Paul? Oh, nope. Let's go to Alan. Hi, Alan.
Good morning. Yes. I was actually a part of the hiring team. And our interview process was essentially we had to show images of varying different things. Like it would range from like images from Saddam Hussein's assassination.
Oh, no.
To like fecal, like body parts.
Wait a minute. You were the interviewer? You were part of part of the company?
Yes.
And they made you show these pictures to them. Why?
I was essentially a part of the shock and awe process. That's eventually what we called it, because the job itself was to screen these images from being able to be uploaded onto a social media network.
Oh,
I see. So this was actually going to be a part of their job.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
How did most people react to that?
Well,
that's cool. No, I'm good. I'd rather not see two girls, one cup, but all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I would say it was probably 70-30, good to bad ratio. Like, some people had to walk out of the interview because they simply couldn't take it, or I had some people say, you know, this is too much for them and against their religious beliefs, and they didn't realize that this was a part of the job. And, you know, I would warn them, like, look, this is a part of the job process that you're being screened for, and ultimately this is what you're going to have to deal with. And so a part of my job was to look for some of that stuff to be able to present
Sweet.
It to them
Sweet.
In an interview.
And then they copied your history, and then you were under their thumb for the rest of your life, right? This, by the way, this is the interview that should take place before your Psycho Mike's friend.
Yes.
As well.
I was just thinking of that.
You should have to look at all of these pictures.
He loves this.
Just so that you can be his friend. Thank you for calling, Alan. We appreciate it.
I definitely know there's some people that are probably scarred for life from that job.
Oh, I'm sure. Because of you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice work. Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about tickets to see Jane's Addiction? With special guest Portugal the Man. It's all happening October the 24th at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino.
Yay!
Tickets go on sale this Friday at 11 a.m. However, you, my good friends, will not have to wait that long if you're one of the lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First three callers through at that particular phone number will win a pair of tickets to see Jane's Addiction and Portugal the Man on October the 24th at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. Ah. Boy, I need some bingo. I got to run out there and play some bingo. I have not really scratched my bingo itch in some time.
Bingo seems to be populated all by old people.
How dare you,
it does.
Sir?
That's true. Even at the casinos.
You don't know. You
I
don't
do
know the excitement of dropping your dauber on a nice fresh bingo card.
No, I actually don't know.
Hearing
that.
B12 and just saying, that's more than a vitamin, bitch. That's bingo. Very exciting.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
I will not. Right there. I will not have you besmirch bingo.
Those are bingo players. That's it. Bingo blows.
The Expendables 3 is currently in production. Very exciting times. They have just added a new member to the cast. I love the Expendables cast because you get all the great 80s and 90s action stars in one lineup. We got Terry Crews, we got Jason Statham, you've got Sly, of course, Schwarzenegger, Harrison Ford. I mean, it's just a cornucopia of just studs.
And they sort of make fun all the time of that they're old action stars.
Yeah,
things are getting tougher.
A lot of nods and homages to the action films of old. And now, finally, a real action star joining the cast. Kelsey Grammer will be joining the cast.
What?
When you think of badass action stars, you think of Kelsey Grammer sitting there nursing a beer at Cheers.
That's weird.
Taking people out with an AK-47.
It was almost exclusively old action stars.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. Apparently, he is going to play an ex-mercenary who helps the Expendables in their mission. What is he, their bookkeeper? He's going to keep track of how much ammo they're using? Oh, for God's sakes, Niles.
I don't think he's going to be that character.
Everybody's saying, well, he was, you know, he played a mean guy in Boss. When he played that mayor in Boss.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't kicking ass and taking names. He was dying and passing laws. He was a mayor, for God's sake.
That's baloney.
It is baloney.
It doesn't make sense.
What do I know? Be careful who you search for on the internet, my friends. The wrong name could get you a bad computer virus.
Farrah Abramson?
Yeah, you would think for sure if you look for backdoor teen mom Farrah Abraham, you'd get a virus, wouldn't you?
Sure.
Something. Computer crabs or something. There's little crabs
crawling
over your
computer. You get actual crabs somehow.
That's right.
I don't know how.
Here is, according to McAfee Computer Security Company, here are the top 10 names that if you search for these people, do a search for these people on the internet, you've got nearly a 15% chance of getting some kind of spam, adware, spyware, viruses, or other malware. If you plug their name into
50%.
A search engine. 15%.
Oh, 15. Okay, good.
Yeah. Emma Roberts is number 10. Adriana Lima is 9. That'd be worth it. Whatever I caught. Yeah. Some other for her, that'd be worth it.
How is she not higher than 9, too?
John Hamm is 8th. Britney Spears, 7th. Katy Perry was 6th. Zoe Saldana. Kathy Griffin was 4th. Sandra Bullock. Avril Lavigne, and number one, oddly enough, Lily Collins. If you search her, that's the celebrity you're most likely to catch an internet virus from.
That's weird.
Lily Collins. Maybe it's because she's got that Mortal Instruments.
Right, she's a star of that.
Star of that, and there's a lot of fans like that working the internet and doing fan fiction and that kind of thing for that book series, so maybe that's where you get the stuff from. You didn't ask Chris Hemsworth when we had him on the show earlier today about his brother Liam.
No.
And Liam's ended relationship with Miley Cyrus.
I'm sure he wanted to talk about that.
I would have asked for nothing but that. Yeah, okay, Rush is opening. But seriously.
But what about Liam?
Your brother, what's going on there with him and Twerky?
His romance life.
Twerky.
Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth, that relationship officially has been called off, according to their people.
Surprising to no one.
Their people told people. People magazine. The relationship is over. Insiders are saying that the performance of Miley twerking on Robin Thicke's joint at the Video Music Awards.
And by joint, you mean song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was the final nail in the coffin. Friends say Liam was embarrassed, disgusted, and mortified.
Oh, come on.
As we all were.
But he's seen her do stuff like that the whole relationship, I'm sure.
I don't know like that, though. Tongue hanging out, humping teddy bears and stuff. I mean, a man has his limits.
Well, I guess, but a man that has his limits doesn't date Miley Cyrus, I don't think.
Well, I think when they started dating, she was sort of normal.
All right.
Yeah, but that stopped like a year
ago.
She
had chopped all her hair off and gone nuts and started licking sledgehammers and riding wrecking ball chains naked.
Yeah, that's her latest video, Wrecking Ball. She does make out with a sledgehammer.
Friends of the couple say the relationship just didn't twerk out. Banging, a singing, a voice, a lady, hi, lady. Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Sudeikis, is 38 years old today. Rapper Xzibit turns 39. James Marsden turns 40. Jada Pinkett Smith is 42. Hey, listen, Jada, have a talk to your kid.
How about checking out his Twitter feed?
Why don't you read some of Jaden's tweets and say, you know what? Maybe people should stay in school, Jaden Smith. Aisha Tyler. She's 43 years old today. Very funny lady. And a bell, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Speaking of bells, Ricky Bell of Bell Biv DeVoe and New Edition fame, is 46 years old. And actor Fred Willard, legendary improviser and actor. Did you guys watch Family Tree over on HBO? There were Chris O'Dowd, the Christopher Guest, written, produced, and directed series.
Haven't watched it.
Boy, is that great.
Is it good?
Fred Willard is so funny.
He's hilarious.
He's good in everything.
He is good.
Doesn't matter. Even if it's a bad movie, he's good.
Chris Guest used him a lot, of course, and well-deserved. Happy birthday, Fred Willard. 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Welcome to the studios of K-Rock, Keegan, Michael Key, and Jordan Peele.
Good one, Kevin. That's one. You did it.
I didn't do it wrong.
You did it right. You're on course. Yeah. You're on course to screw everybody else in the studio.
Yes.
Now, if you just don't want to say the names again, you're safe.
I can go with
K&P.
K&P. I could go with Jordan, right? Uh-huh. I mean, I don't have to say.
You could just say Jordan, other guy.
Here's what, here's what happened. Earlier in the week, I did say P and Keel. That did happen. Yeah, right. Now, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
No, right. No. That's count. An example of me just being bad.
That's how you swear around old people. You tell a story and go, and then he said, expletive, expletive, expletive. Right. And you're like, that's not me swearing.
Right.
That's not me swearing.
So that doesn't get counted against me.
That is, yes. Mm-hmm.
So that did happen earlier this week. So yesterday after the show, they were betting how many times I would say it wrong today.
Uh-huh. Right.
And the over-under is 3. Now, so far, I'm cool.
You're good.
You're perfect now.
It's 8-10, and I have not screwed it up yet.
And by the way, I got to say, Keegan and I do that all the time.
You do too.
Oh, yes. We do it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Peel and P.
I've called myself P. I've called myself Keegan. Keichel P.
You've never said that one. You've never one time said that. It'd be funny if you did, but you never did. Explain to people who haven't seen your show, which is called Key and Peele.
Well,
on Comedy Central. Explain exactly what that is. Thank you for the polite golf clap. I appreciate it. Explain what your show is and how it works.
Well, it's a sketch show. So we do basically 3 minutes at a time. We take on all sorts of topics. Tonight's episode, we have a sequel to the substitute teacher scene.
Oh, I have a clip of that.
You have a clip of that?
Do you have time for that?
Oh, yeah.
Give us the background on substitute teacher and how that came about.
I think what happened is we were doing our scenes and one of our writers had come up with this scene. And I think just the idea of playing with culture as much as we can, that's what we try to do as much as anything else on our show.
Right.
And so for him, it's an idea that's always floating in the air. So we just thought, what a good idea.
Yeah, if I remember.
Because let's be honest, white people do at times marvel at black people's names.
Oh, well,
so
absolutely.
This is the opposite of that.
You know, I mean, it's there's not even a racial divide. There are some amazing names out there. Some of the best names I've ever heard.
White people and black people laugh at black people's names.
Oh, yes. And you know, I mean, black people, you know, we have fascinating out of the box names. White people have about 4 names.
That's true.
You have one of them.
I don't know if you've noticed, but Kevin everywhere is an idiot.
Right.
You watch The Office? Kevin on The Office is an adult.
An adult. Yep,
just,
he's adult.
It's just
yep.
Crazy mm-hmm. bad. I can't say that word.
Nope.
Yeah, right. Short
bus. None of them are good.
So I think that's part of, I mean, it's a fascination. It's funny. 2 of the scenes that are the most popular scenes on our show happen to do with names.
Yeah.
So the East West Bowl names. Yeah. And, you know, it's almost a national fascination.
Here's a little bit of substitute teacher.
Let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here?
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play? Okay then, I've got my eye on you, Jay Quellen. Balake, where is Balake at? Yes, sir.
My name's Blake.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
He's from the inner city.
He's from the inner city. He's got a lot of kids with interesting names.
I love that.
He's trying his best to not mispronounce the names.
Right.
He's trying really hard to pronounce these names
correctly. And yet he's 100% wrong.
Yes.
which I enjoy about that. And then, of course, the football names are just as funny.
Football. And those, we do not do real life justice. I mean.
That's true.
The actual names in real life are, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. That's a real dude.
It is?
Really?
That is
Clinton Dix. Yeah.
It's a real name.
Was he named that, or did he change his
name?
Well,
I believe his name is Hashawn.
Hashawn is the first name.
So he's taken on the ha-ha part, But Clinton Dix, you don't even need to.
Why would you even add ha-ha to it? Come on, that stands alone.
There are some crazy ones. Wonderful, terrific Mons the Second. This is a guy.
It's a real human being. But the thing is, like, you
guys, for that skit, you guys dress up as well with the hair makeup and everything.
Big challenge for the makeup department, hair department. Yeah.
Now, you've been nominated for an Emmy, right?
Yes.
In makeup.
Let me see if I've got this right.
You got that correct.
Outstanding makeup for a multi-camera series or special non-prosthetic.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Oh, I didn't even know the non-prosthetic part. I didn't even know that
I've never heard of any of that.
Don't do prosthetics ever,
though. Well, we definitely use prosthetics.
Oh, we use prosthetics.
Well, don't say that. This is for the Emmys.
Well, you know, I think we already found out.
We found out.
Oh, you
did
it. They had a week ago or whatever.
Yeah, they did. And when they do the creative Emmys, and earlier, and then air them this week.
And how did you guys not win?
Well, SNL did their...
I'm sorry, let me back up. Did you win?
Yeah. Well. You can tell by the inflection in our voice.
It happened.
Yeah.
How did you not win? Saturday Night Live won?
SNL, they took it, the juggernaut. So, you know, we'll have to chip away on that next year.
Yeah, we'll just figure it out next year.
Here's what I know about Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live does skits, and they are always 3 times too long.
Yeah.
Always. And that's what I love about your show, is you have plenty of content, and you get in and you get out and you move on to something else, and it doesn't, you don't belabor it forever like Saturday Night Live. That drives me crazy.
Well,
sometimes they have a great skit idea, and you know, when you go into the second half hour, you go, wow, this is getting old quick.
You know, they get to do some things we don't get to do, but we do have the luxury of hitting it and quitting it.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes I think we may have the two shows may have opposite challenges.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're caught into a place where they have to fill time.
Right.
And we're slash and burn. Like, you know, we're looking at 21 minutes of entertainment on our show.
Yeah.
So it's like we have to, and they have to.
Yeah.
They should.
He's doing hand signals.
I just turned into Michael Winslow. There's like a Michael Winslow mosquito just bit me and then flew away.
Now, what about the people who don't know who Michael Winslow is? What about that group?
That group.
That's a pretty big group.
They're called teenagers.
They're called anybody under 25.
Michael Winslow, the king of mouth noise.
From the Police Academy movies. The one actor in every single Police Academy movie.
And I don't know if you know this. Yeah. In our first season, we did a sketch called McFerrin versus Winslow.
I did not know that.
Yes. Bobby McFerrin versus Michael Winslow.
That is
Winslow.
So obvious now that you say it. Right?
And, you know, we were at the ESPYs a month ago or 2 months ago. I met Kellen Winslow.
Right.
Who is Michael Winslow's cousin.
He is?
Their first cousins. Kellen Winslow Sr.
Who knew and Michael that?
I do now.
Right.
But I mean, I who would have ever guessed that those two Winslows would have had anything to do with each other at all?
Wow, that's bizarre.
Yeah. That's
funny. Tell me about your brother. No. I play football. I'm a footballer. Key and Peele returns tonight, season 3, Wednesday nights, 10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central. Key and Peele are here. Key and Peele are here.
You did? Oh, he's he is on a roll.
Flaunting it.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
I'm now flaunting it.
How dare you? I don't need to be careful at all. We'll be right back. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 8 o'clock. What are you talking about? Why are you already laughing?
Just still laughing about the helicopter thing we were just talking about.
I love that.
Season one,
Brock Favors.
Brock Favors here. And Chopper 6 or 17 or whatever channel I'm on. Usually I'm not. What is his line? He goes, I'm up in the chopper not doing my usual land reports. Right. He said land reports. Yeah, the character's in a helicopter, and he's never been in a helicopter ever. He's like probably flown once in his whole life. Helicopter's dipping and diving, and
And you were personally getting sick?
I was getting ill. And when we were watching all the dailies, Jordan's like, man, Jordan, he put up air quotes that the character is getting sick in the costume. You can see me going, whew.
That would have been awful. Why didn't you just throw up?
I know, I should have just thrown up.
That would have been great.
And I'm generally against vomit in sketch. I hate when people
vomit. Yeah.
But that would have been one, if it really happened.
If it was real,
that would have been amazing.
You don't care about your craft. That's what I'm finding out.
He's not method.
You're
Daniel
right.
Day-Lewis would have
hurled all over the instruments. Yeah.
I went in a helicopter in Hawaii one time, and it was with another group of like 6 people
that
I didn't know.
Was it to Jurassic Park?
Yeah. And...
And I was throwing up in the bag like for like the whole time.
The whole trip.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And then as soon as you get out of the helicopter, like all of the rest of the people who had been, you know, getting together, laughing and talking, all that kind of, they all went one way, and then Puke Boy went the other way.
Oh, yeah, right.
That is the worst when you're like on a roller coaster or something.
And it's you. And you're the one.
It's the worst.
And
it's always great when it's someone else.
And also, and there's no way of forgetting, because not only it's insult to injury. Once you step off the helicopter, you're like an infant for the next 15 minutes. You can't walk. You can't walk and veering off to the side.
You want everybody else to say something about it, but then they just go silent.
They just don't. Yeah, which is way worse. The silence is deafening.
Yeah. And you know, as they're walking away, they're going, "Oh, did you hear that guy?
He's just hurling back there."
I had a camera. I was trying to hide behind, but it wasn't. You know, it's not working.
No.
It's not working at all.
Is that Kevin from K-Rock?
Thank God no one said that. Tell me about the Obama skit. Is that on tonight's show? I watched a bunch to catch up. Is that on tonight's show?
We do have one tonight.
Okay. There is one airing tonight, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And
you do a great Obama.
Thank you.
He does the best Obama.
And, you know, here's the thing. I've gotten a little bit of an endorsement from the man himself.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
We met him.
Nice.
And we got to meet him.
Please
and everything.
Do tell.
Well, you know, it's first thing he says, and the sketch involves he's trying to make a point, and then he's got Luther, his anger translator, sort of.
They use an anger translator who actually brings the anger that any normal human being would have.
That's right.
And Obama seems to not have.
Right.
That's right. You know, Obama, you got to stay a little bit political. And, you know, Luther will, say what's a...
Say whatever the hell he want to really say.
That's right.
Because I'm sick of Assyria. You know I'm talking to the Russians, but don't get it wrong. I'm coming up over there.
It is true. We're
I ain't going to put a boot on the ground. I'm going to put a boot on your neck.
All right, Luther. No, settle down a little bit.
Sorry, sir. You didn't say that. It was just me. I just hate Assad myself.
All right.
Just me.
Well, that's all right.
So you guys did meet the president for real?
We did meet him. And the first thing he says, he points to Keegan and says, you know, I need Luther. I need him.
Probably the greatest moment of my life.
Of course. Yes,
absolutely.
Of course. That would be thrilling.
Yeah, he was great.
And that to us was just the best thing, because that kind of made Luther real. I mean, we had been kind of, you know, fantasizing, you know, what
this
if,
concept, yeah.
What would we say for him if we could? But the moment he gave us that shout out, it was like, oh my God, Luther kind of is the president's anger translator.
You should have said, your next State of the Union, I am available.
I'm available, yeah. Yep. Right, exactly.
And they've got somebody signing, and then they've got you screaming.
And that'd be
the other side.
Listen to me, Republicans! Y'all with your Twitter and you're screwing around! I'm talking up here!
We have one tonight. The one we're really excited about is we sort of take him out of the political sphere.
Realm. Yeah.
And Obama, Barry, is trying to, he's trying to get some lovemaking going with Michelle.
Oh, I see.
And he can't, he doesn't know how to put it. Blankly, you know.
Michelle goes, Luther, are you available to translate?
And then we take it up the next notch where, you know, we actually introduce Michelle's anger translator, Katendra.
Katendra.
Played by Nicole Randall Johnson, who's one of our great friends amazing sketch actress.
Amazing.
You're both saying the same thing. You know that right now, right?
I'm in a co-signing loop right now.
He's translating.
Keegan is in a co-signing loop.
He's translating what I'm saying while I'm saying.
But he's saying the same word.
I'm the worst real translator. Go ahead, say something, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am. You know, I am what you see.
Jordan is what you see.
You know, I don't mince words.
He doesn't mince.
Here's what
words.
I heard. You guys are here to talk about your show, yes, in general, but tonight specifically. And yet, the sketch that's on tonight's show, you don't think is the best, and you're going to talk about one that's coming up.
Well, it
that's
is the
better.
Tonight's is
the best so far.
Is very is relevant.
Okay.
Yes. And I think it's also because we're just excited that this other sketch is going out of the realm.
All right.
So you're going to see good vintage Obama Luther tonight. And then it's to see this other sketch in this different. We're just excited about
Did
it.
Did either of you ask the president if he would do a sketch with you? Or is that not the kind of thing you would ever bring up in a million years?
You know what? I think we assumed the answer.
You might have been wrong.
But, you know, there's some talk.
There is some
there's
talk.
A possibility that something like that could happen.
That means no, right?
Absolutely not. No, we're working on a little something that
right.
we're going to try and collaborate.
And we've been in contact with the White House.
With who at the White House? Because I've called the White House.
We've all called the White House.
Right. is there somebody important that you've been in contact with, or is it just
switchboard?
It's
not the switchboard.
It's not. That's
we're you're not at liberty to say. He's going right back into the president's speech.
One of our who did you talk
Luther?
To
what does he mean?
None of y'all's damn business.
One of our fantasies was that we would actually get Barack to come in and be one of the East West Bowl players. Barack Obama.
That would have been great.
Harvard
University. Yeah. You know. Just close it out.
That
would have
been
great. Yeah, we didn't get that.
But there's another project, and it's in the
what a weird world where you're trying to figure out how to get the president of the United States in one of your skits.
Right. Yeah.
So one day we're shooting a sketch about if farts were names, and then the next day we're talking about working with the most powerful man
in the world. Yeah,
on the sketch of if farts were names, explain it to his people.
Right.
Key and Peeler here. Their show is on again tonight on Comedy Central at 10:30. It's coming back for season 3, and we will continue in a minute here on. We have Key and Peele in the studio. Their show comes back tonight on Comedy Central at 10:30, and every Wednesday night.
That's right.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm, how many episodes do you have?
It's 13.
13.
This season, right. Which is a bit, first season was 8, then we did 10, now 13.
I like that they're not moving you up too quickly.
No, not too quickly.
8. 8.
10. We're going to give you 2 more, but not any more than that. We're not sure yet.
Right. Yes, indeed.
Charlie Sheen just got like a 100-episode deal.
Right, exactly. and it's weird. One season. They're not going to break it up into seasons. He's just going to never not be on the air.
That's true. Just continuously.
He's just going to keep
going. But when he's done, he retires.
He retires. That's He'll be finished. Yeah.
Tell me about Hell Baby. That was awesome.
Oh, thanks, Kev. Yeah. Hell Baby.
Why wasn't Jordan allowed in it, first of all?
Yeah, you guys didn't let me even near the set.
Why did that happen?
I know that. Hell Baby is a movie we made in Louisiana last year. We were with Tom Lennon and Ben Garant from Reno 911.
We had them in to talk about it. We love them so much.
And Rob Corddry's in it. Terrific. And then, of course, Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel and Ricky Lindholm.
Try to describe your role in that movie. Because you're this weird guy that lives right outside their window.
The weird guy that lives in the basement.
Maybe in the attic.
Yeah, and pleasures himself to vintage porn. But it's fun. I think he's supposed to be, in a way, a red herring a little bit. I think you're supposed to think, maybe Fresnel, that's the character's name, Fresnel. Maybe Fresnel is the guy who's causing all of the murders or causing all of the deaths or, somehow he's responsible. And you find out that he's...
But it's not much of a red herring in that it's named Hell Baby.
Yes, exactly.
That is in the name.
Yes,
The bad guy is.
Right. You pretty much know who the bad guy is. And since she's pregnant, you know it's coming at the end of the movie. So, So it's kind of their homage to Rosemary's Baby and to all parts of the horror genre put together.
You were so funny in that role, though.
Oh, thanks, man.
Why couldn't Jordan be in it?
Next time you're in a movie, just tell him you're a package
deal. I will tell him I can't do it without him.
Right.
I cannot do it without
your wings.
Him.
Some lie. Something. Yeah, to get
some lie.
Something to get him in there.
I
was shooting a... he was independent shooting. Feature called Playing Madden in My Apartment. And
it was great. One camera.
It.
One camera. Yep. And
one camera.
Is it still filming?
It's still shooting.
Waiting for you to get back.
We're doing the sequel now. It's Madden in My Apartment, Madden 25.
The return.
You can have white hair.
Right. The camera is on the top of my MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Sure. It's a really, very, a lot of cinema verite elements to this piece that Jordan's doing.
Now, have you guys done all 13 episodes already? You're still working on it.
We're just locking the episodes now, and doing all the weird color timing and sound editing and all this kind
of
stuff.
Any new characters that we haven't seen yet?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of new characters. Yeah.
We're throwing a lot. We're throwing a lot at it. There's, one of our favorite sketches. We have a lot of Latino fans come up to say,
"This is so much fun."
Hey. Come on, make fun of us.
Really?
Hey, listen, make fun of us, Holmes.
You're not including them?
I'm offended that you're not offending us.
Yes.
Like, why are you doing it?
I got to tell you, the honest truth is people get offended by everything we do.
Oh, yeah?
Except for anyone Hispanic.
Yeah.
They laugh.
Yeah, we never get complaints.
At everything.
Yeah.
They really have a great sense of humor, and we can do almost anything we want. And then there are other groups, not to mention names, but you can't say anything about
them. Right. No, I know. Yeah.
They're organized, and they're complaining, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of sketches this year, and when we did the live tapings, these couple of Hispanics, people were losing their minds
in
the
audience.
They
find it funnier than anyone.
They were going bananas. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple scheduled with a couple players with a Hispanic baseball player.
Oh yeah,
I think it's gonna. That Jordan plays, it's hysterical, and I think it's gonna. It's gonna do really well.
And then one of my favorites is we play a couple cholos,
yeah,
like kind of some gangsters, and there's they're about to have a meeting, and then there's
about how we can make more crimes happen,
right?
and so yeah.
there's one too few chairs,
right?
And they're sitting down, and so my character just like leans up on the table.
Let me get Carlos, just get him a chair.
And no, like, I'm good.
Well, it's gonna be weird. Like, everybody else is sitting in chairs. It's okay for you to sit in a chair.
I don't sit in no chairs, Hans. I don't never sit. You never catch me sitting in no chair.
Carlito, what are you talking about, man? What do you do when you're in a car?
Hey, go on with your meeting, man.
No, but listen, but why, though? Why wouldn't you sit in a chair?
I'll never sit in a chair. Never.
You never sit in a chair? What do you do when you're in a car?
I don't sit in no cars, man. I crouch.
And he just won't give it up.
Just to stubborn.
He just won't give it up that they beat him to the chairs.
Like, he doesn't want to get caught looking
get him a chair. Bernardo, get him a chair.
No. Hey, Bernardo.
No, get him a chair. Bernardo, get him a chair.
Bernardo, you get a
Bernardo,
chair.
Bernardo, get that chair over here.
It's going to be the last chair you get.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
There's a few new characters.
Ton of new characters. I think every episode has at least one sort of Key and Peele favorite that people are asking us for.
Can you not dress up like a woman ever again?
I can't.
Ever again.
I can't
it's
promise
so
you
funny that you say
again.
That, Kevin, because a lot of people think he's... Yes,
yeah. I know.
I'm going to stick.
Kind of pretty.
There
it is. And it's always women. Women. Yep. Well, look at his beautiful full lips.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Look at his beautiful full lips.
His lips were made for lipstick.
I look like a tranny.
All right,
but right, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa.
He looks pretty.
I need that clip of him saying he looks like a tranny. If you don't mind,
he's gonna isolate that.
Oh no! Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it!
Somehow I think you'll find it funny. Somehow I think.
But Megan, of course, is one of my favorite characters to play.
Seriously?
Now listen. You're
just
an idiot.
I'm an idiot? You're calling me an idiot on the radio, Megan?
Yeah.
Seriously, Megan. I've got this hat. They gave us swag. Take it.
I don't want your swag.
It's not my swag. It's your K-Rock swag.
Well,
take
it. Eat the hat.
I'm not going to eat the freaking hat, Megan.
This is Andre, her boyfriend. Yeah, that's so
why doesn't he just break up with her?
That's a good question.
Why doesn't he just
because
break
every
up
30
with
seconds
her?
They have a glance.
Because
it's
she's
a glance of blood.
The glance of
blood.
Gorgeous.
It's the glance of blood. It's your
because,
eyes.
It's because of those full lips. Ask Lisa, folks. I'm not the only one in here.
That's right.
He's got DSL. Right? Is that what we're saying?
Oh.
Yeah,
that's
I thought you were talking about I thought you were talking about outmoded internet.
No, I'm sorry. No, I don't do that.
So why haven't I broken up with her?
That is such a good question.
That's why.
I
right
mean,
there.
Now I have to break up with you. It's ridiculous. If you don't have a DSL, what am I even doing here? It's like diminishing returns.
It's the promise that someday they will be DSL.
So would you do it?
I can't get you out of my head as a woman.
See, that says something.
It's bothering me.
That says
it's really bothering.
It's like when we used to think Bugs Bunny was hot.
It's like Bugs Bunny with a wig.
Yeah.
I'm sweating a little right now. Being this close to you is really somehow turning me on.
Andre, it's over.
No,
listen,
man,
no.
Stay away from my woman.
Can have her.
No, you know what?
Now. We've already made up our mind.
No, you can have her.
Yes.
You can have her,
yeah, because she doesn't
I'm
have
I'm trying
DSL,
to do like the chivalrous thing.
Fight. You guys fight over me. Why are you fighting?
Key and Peele, season 3, tonight. Wednesday at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Make sure and watch that live and TiVo and watch it again.
Exactly.
Yes,
thank you, Kevin.
Series DVR.
Just get that series. Just get that season pass.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
TiVo it out.
Thanks for coming in today, guys.
Thank you for having us. This was terrific.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57. Adam Carolla coming up just after the top of the hour with This Week in Rage. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph.
The price to pay when you marry a beautiful, successful actress like Jennifer Aniston? Just ask poor Justin Theroux. He's had to make some serious concessions when he moved in with his fiancée, Jennifer Aniston. He tells GQ magazine that his beautiful lady love refuses to showcase some of his favorite art.
What
she
is
won't
this?
Let him hang his favorite art on the walls.
What's his favorite art?
Well, he's got a collection of close-up photographs of open mouths and tongues suffering from different STDs.
Oh, dear God.
That's art?
Yeah. Why would he want
open
that?
Mouth and tongue featuring, you know, the ravages of syphilis, gonorrhea,
herpes, whatever.
That's terrible.
I'm on her side.
Terrible that she won't let him hang those beautiful
pieces
of art.
No, I'm on her side.
Who needs that?
You need a beautiful gallery of syphilitic mouths opened up, just tongues hanging out with sores and blisters. That's what you need.
I don't
need
that.
That is art.
Not to me. That's not.
He says the pieces aren't going to find their place over the fireplace anytime soon.
Oh, is he going to have to sell them?
No.
I mean, you can buy them, Ralph, and put them in your house.
He's allowed to keep them in his office, apparently, out of view of everyone else. They share a $21 million cozy little mansion in Bel Air, by the way.
Does he have his own wing?
I'm sure he does. Woman won't let a guy hang his favorite art.
That doesn't sound like art to me.
It's not wrong, man. See those nice, big canker sores.
Yeah,
that's put that in the entryway. Welcome,
nasty.
Everyone. Welcome to our dinner party.
That's what you have to look forward to.
I think there's an awesome phone-in in concessions you had to make to a significant other when you moved in together or got married. I guarantee you there have been many battles over... You are not hanging a stuffed moose head in our living room.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you hunted it and killed it and how proud you are. You're not putting that in our living room.
Says the guy who has an entire room dedicated to Batman.
Well, that was the concession.
It's quite
my wife said, you're not putting anything Batman in our house. You can have one room and do whatever you want to it, but the rest of the house must remain geek-free.
An actual house.
Yes.
An actual house.
Your wife did the right thing.
You've obviously heard that
like
before.
A freaking woman.
Your wife did the right thing.
No, she did not. Imagine how cool my house would be with, like, Batman hanging from the ceiling and, like, a replica Batmobile in the living room and bat poles going up and down from the second floor to the first floor.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you're damn right it'd be cool.
Ralph did show up to his wedding in the Batmobile. That did happen.
Be the best house ever, but
and Jimmy
no.
Kimmel leaned over to me and said, is there a bride at this wedding?
Yeah, there was a bride. Oh, I invited Jimmy to my wedding. That's right. I remember now how I invited Jimmy Kimmel to my wedding. I remember inviting Jimmy to my wedding.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
What are you insinuating?
Nothing.
You remember that you invited him?
I invited him to my wedding.
Right.
Okay, I was just trying to do the mm-hmm. math there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one side of that equation that seems to be lesser than the other side of the equation. No, I'm happy for Jimmy. I hope he has many, many happy months of marriage. Today's celebrity birthdays, Fred Willard. He is 80 years old today. Singer Ricky Bell of Belle Biv DeVoe. A new addition, 46 years old today. Aisha Tyler is 43. Actress Jada Pinkett Smith. Great actress. Mother? 42 years old today. James Marsden is 40. Exhibit turns 39. And SNL alum, comedian Jason Sudeikis, 38 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Adam Carolla is joining us now, as he does on Wednesdays. Hi, Adam.
What's going on, man? Get it on.
Adam is going to be at the California Theater for the Performing Arts in San Bernardino this Saturday, September 21st, with Dennis Prager. Any tickets available for that, Adam?
There's still some for that, and I'm going to be doing a little Mangria signing down that way about 6:30, but I don't know where. You can go to adamcarolla.com and find out.
Go to adamcarolla.com and find out. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Starting at 3, making my way up to number 1. Well, we've all had a news ass full of the tragic shooting at the Naval Yard and lots of eyewitness interviews, except for how come every single one of those interviews goes something like this? First off, the chick looks like Wanda Sykes. Secondly, she didn't see anything.
Right.
She heard a noise.
Right.
She heard what sounded like, and then she has to make the sound. Pop. Pop, 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 pop. And then she has to explain to us what she thought it was.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was fireworks or backfire. I didn't know what it was. And minute 8 into that interview, I think, what the F are we talking to you for?
Yeah.
Because they're never close enough to it to have seen exactly what went on, because they'd be dead if they were close enough. They're far enough away to hear something. Do you really want that? I mean, you know, What if you were talking to a guy who just heard somebody having sex? Would that be a great interview?
Probably not.
Yeah, they're like four apartment buildings away. I heard some grunting. Sound like a car backfiring at the end. Well, I'm just saying, do we need to talk to the woman who doesn't know anything?
No, but they do need something because they have to talk about this story for the next 3 hours.
Right.
So they find somebody that has heard something and they put her on. They can't be proud.
Wanda Sykes' sister with the GED who thought something else was going on in the next block is not the person we need to talk to about what went on. And they never go, and then I saw this, and then I saw that. It was, I was sitting at my desk, I heard a noise.
Yeah.
That much we get. Okay.
I'm guessing at the end of that newscast, though, they don't high-five each other and go, yes, we got a woman that heard it.
Yeah, I know, always that person. I just want the person to go, hey, man, I was knee-deep in that crap, man. I did a shoulder roll. I pulled up a park bench to protect myself. I returned fire. Then I took the guy down from behind and held him in a figure four until authorities showed up. Like, that's the guy I want to talk to.
Never available. Never available.
The person that was four buildings away and thought there was a quinceañera going on in the courtyard. Okay. That we don't need to talk to. Also, this heavy man, are you sitting? This is heavy.
This is heavy, okay.
This is heavy. I had this thought. I was taking my boy out. I said, let's get some fro-yo. By the way, as the great Artie Lang pointed out, how lazy are we that we can't finish the word frozen and yogurt, that we have to shorten it? But I said, fro-yo. And he said, yeah, I don't like fro-yo. And I said, what the heff is wrong with you, boy? You don't like frozen yogurt? I said, listen, I got chocolate. He said, I don't like chocolate. I said, listen,
your son doesn't like chocolate in general?
I'm ready to give him back.
What's happening?
I'm close to giving him back.
To who?
I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs. I have an assistant for that.
Okay, all right.
But either way, he's this close to going back.
Okay.
So I said, listen, they have cherry. I know you like fruit. This is cherry. You're going to like cherry fro-yo. And he said, I don't like cherry. I said, What kind of animal doesn't like cherry? It's the greatest fruit ever. What do you mean you don't like cherry flavor? He said, when I was a little boy and I had my ear infection and mommy had to give me the medicine, it tasted like cherry, and now I can't have cherries anymore. And then I went, my God, he's right. We're imbeciles because what we're doing is we take these little kids' medicine when they're 2 years old.
Yeah.
We make it into some yummy flavor.
It's got to be palatable to them so that they take it.
Understood, but then we forever ruin their relationship with that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we need to give them passion fruit flavor. Because we give them passion fruit flavored stuff, they get their sweet, crappy, syrupy junk, and they will have a life free of passion fruit, which I claim is a great life, or we could do Sunny D or Mountain Dew flavor. Either way, they'll go on to have a good life. I, and more importantly, my wife, to be more correct, has destroyed the flavor of cherries for my kid. We need a separate flavor that a kid will never encounter as an adult for children's medicine.
But it has to be tasty.
Whatever it is, make it super scrumdilicious flavor.
Okay.
But you will never ruin the fro-yo because you're never going to go to the fro-yo place and see super scrumdilicious flavor up on the flavor wall.
I see what you're doing. You're protecting the fro-yo.
I'm protecting the children.
The children, right. That's what I meant.
Because they and robots are our future. Not just them anymore.
Not just them.
Let's face it. We're getting a lot more out of robots than our kids. And number one. Oh, speaking of the kids, I had a harrowing story from yesterday. I went to my boy's constitutional play over in a second grade school where they get up there and talk about the Constitution in that sing-songy monotone that kids do when they memorize stuff that they don't want to know.
That's good
and
stuff.
And regurgitate it, never committing one syllable to memory. It's an awesome way to learn. At the end of the class, all the parents were sitting there, and I had to sit in those mini chairs. You know, you're already at a disadvantage. And the teacher, who looks like one of my teachers from the second grade, just turns on the parents and says, all right, parents, now it's your turn. Now we need to find out what you know about the Constitution.
What?
I'm going, what the hell? By the way, I didn't sign up to walk into this Burmese tiger trap.
Not in your class.
My kid make an ass of himself, not me. So I'm sitting on the miniature chair in the back of the class. I got my wife combined. We have like a half a GED together worth of education. We're looking at each other. My son is in the front looking at us with these hopeful eyes.
Sure.
You know?
Don't embarrass me, Dad. Don't embarrass me, Dad.
Right. So when you know the answer to the question, hands up. And, of course, every hand up on every question, but me and the wife, my son was like looking at us going, come on, give me something, give me something. At a certain point, she said, all right, now quick math question. 12 states originally in the signing of the Constitution, but they only needed two-thirds to ratify it. How many states is that? And I said, all right, well, I don't know anything about the Constitution, but I do know some basic math.
I can do math.
And my hand went flying up, and I said, 8 states. And she said, wrong, 9, moving on. And my son, like, snapped a pencil, and I said, wait a minute, it is 8 states. And she said, okay, moving on now. And then I turn into the world's biggest douchebag if I stand up and start yelling, hey, bitch, it is two-thirds of 12 is 8.
Right.
That's what you said. And then some dude with a tattoo, some dad with a tattoo shouted out, he's right. But she just plowed
forward. Oh, my God.
My son was welling up. My wife wanted to know what I was doing to my kid. And then when we were leaving the place, she was greeting everyone at the door. And as I was walking past, she said, you need to brush up on your fractions. I said,
wow.
Wait a minute, sweetie. It is two-thirds.
Did you call her sweetie?
No.
Oh.
I said, listen, you battle axe. No. I said, look, I think I'm right. And but the point is the second she pointed at me and said I was wrong and I was sitting in the miniature chair.
Yeah.
I was thrust back to second grade
in
a vortex of shame.
Yep.
And I just sat there like and then I realized this is my fault for attending anything on a school campus. I should never come here. Ever.
Do not encourage kids that way.
No.
Because you could become an ass, and then your kid is embarrassed.
You don't do that where you invite the parents and then turn a pop quiz on the parents.
And then your answer is right, and she says it's wrong.
Oh, brutalized.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst. Adam Carolla, thanks very much for joining us again this Saturday, September 21st, an evening with Dennis Prager at the California Theater for the Performing Arts in San Bernardino. And then Tuesday at 7 and 9, he's got a live podcast with Greg Proops and Brad Williams. You can find all the information at adamcarolla.com. Thank you, Adam.
Great.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41. Ralph Garman is here for a final look at the showbiz beat for the day. What's up, Ralph?
Well, do you have something to give away before we get
Yes,
the
I do. Thank
beat?
You for reminding me. A pair of tickets, VIP tickets to the Red Bull Flugtag, of which I am the head judge.
Yeah, well, I see why you forgot.
Head judge.
You're just going to be the guy judging everyone there.
That's me. And Hasselhoff has been added, which was a huge surprise to me. He's also going to be a judge. So
sure.
You know who's under me, who's not the head judge? David Hasselhoff. That's
yeah.
it. It's this Saturday at the Rainbow Harbor in Long Beach. We have one pair of tickets. They're VIP tickets for the first caller right now, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck. We'll see you Saturday. Here's Rob.
Yeah, hi. This is David Hasselhoff.
Hey, Dave.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Kevin just gave out the phone number. Call in, I guess. Although you'll be judging. I don't
judging,
think you don't need tickets.
You don't
really.
Need.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, like, where is there?
Is there?
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Yeah. Because come on by tonight around midnight.
Yeah, and where
in the parking lot?
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott? Major fan of how far is and when do they
get them over
the,
with.
The stuff really get going? The afternoon.
Just get them over with.
The afternoon, yeah. Just don't do it if you don't want to do it. Jeez. Someone's putting a gun to your head. Speaking of tickets for things, we had a legendary musician, songwriter, film composer, Danny Elfman, on the show a little while ago.
That's right.
Last week to talk about the event that Danny's doing with the Hollywood Symphony Orchestra and the Page LA Choir. Music from the films of Tim Burton. An evening with Danny Elfman and the music from the films of Tim Burton. We're talking Batman and Edward Scissorhands and Nightmare Before Christmas and Beetlejuice and Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Alice in Wonderland and Big Fish. Just so much wonderful music from all those movies. They sold out the show that we were talking about.
That was Halloween night?
31st, yeah. Halloween night at the Nokia at LA Live. Then they added a second show. Well, that's practically sold out. So due to popular demand, they're adding a third and final show.
Awesome.
Really?
On October 30th, the 29th show is down to just a few seats left. And then the final show will be October 30th. That goes on sale this Friday. So we wanted to give you a heads up because I know a ton of our listeners are interested in checking that show out. So we wanted to give you a heads up and let you know that tickets will go on sale Friday for the third and final show to hear the music of Danny Elfman from all the films of Tim Burton.
That does seem like a great night.
Absolutely. What better way to get in the mood for Halloween, too, than hear Nightmare Before Christmas music. Jack Skelp.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Corpse Bride.
Corpse Bride, right?
Yeah. Good stuff. Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson.
The backdoor teen mom. I guess her rehab stint didn't stick so much.
Uh-oh.
She did go to the Lukens Institute Recovery Center 2 months ago to dry out for 10 days. But a new video currently online has Farrah Abraham bleeding out into the lens of the camera, just bleeding like a sheep, like a goat. Oh. How drunk she is, and how this part is out of hand. She's at a party in Miami, just wrecked. How she's ready to party all night and get crazy, and she dropped a few F-bombs in there for good measure. So I'm guessing her stint in rehab did not take nearly as well.
But Mom of the Year is right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. She's up there. She's running. Her and Kris Jenner neck and neck.
Yeah.
Speaking of rehab, Zac Efron.
No, he went to rehab.
Yeah. Word came out yesterday that he entered rehab roughly 5 months ago. And Zach insinuated he was being treated for alcohol, but it turns out that wasn't... he didn't say explicitly what his drug of choice was, but it turns out we've since learned that it was cocaine. A hardcore cocaine habit was what sent Zach into rehab. He may also have dabbled in Molly, according to sources. So he got into the rehab to kick the nose candy, baby. It's the first time ever I've had anything approaching respect for Zac Efron. It's the first story I've ever read where I just haven't had complete disgust and disdain for him. It's like, oh, Zach did a bunch of blow.
How about that?
Good for him.
He finally made you proud.
Can't handle it, though. Apparently can't handle his blow. He had to go to rehab for it. The one cool thing he's ever did, he had to go someplace to kick it. Man, I'd go for a big line right now. Hey, you want a topless picture of January Jones? There's two ways to get them. Go on the internet. Look for her new film, Sweetwater, that debuted at the Sundance Film Festival in January. Someone took screenshots of her and put them up on the internet. She does appear topless in that film, and now they are out there on the internet to be seen. Or you can just follow Kevin on Twitter. That's another way you can see him. It's a Western set in the 1800s, and January plays an ex-prostitute who is recently widowed and sets out to get revenge against the sheriff, played by Ed Harris, and a preacher who's also done her wrong. No word on when the film will be released here in North America, but it is on DVD already in the UK, so perhaps we'll see it soon. But you can see her topless. She sure is topless.
Yes.
In pictures. She sure is. She's
holding
sure
gun.
Is. She sure is holding gun.
Yep.
Sure is one boob bigger than the other one.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Sure does. That's how you know they're real. It's refreshing. Refreshing, I say. And yesterday, as expected, Britney Spears did, in fact, confirm the rumors that she was going to be sitting down at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino for 2 years, doing 48 concerts over those 2 years, beginning December the 27th. And to make the big announcement, she appeared in the middle of the Mojave Desert with a couple thousand of her fans. It was a very big deal. She choppered in, came in via helicopter. It was very dramatic. Not quite as dramatic, however, when Britney started barfing from the turbulent chopper ride.
Love it.
Apparently didn't go very well. Yeah. K-Rock microphones were there. In fact, she was driven back to Vegas in an Escalade because there's no way she was getting back in that chopper after the experience that she had. Didn't look. If you see the footage from yesterday's Good Morning America when she made the appearance, does not look so good when they interview her.
You can tell.
Yeah, you can tell. She's a little green around the gills. But apparently she's okay now, and she's going to be making $15 million a year, so that buys a lot of air sick bags.
Yes, it does. Ever been air sick?
No, I never have.
That's not a good feeling.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I don't get that. I don't get seasick. I don't get air sick. I'm lucky that way.
Helicopter in Hawaii, and it was spinning around. You had that salt smell coming up from the volcano or whatever.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. I threw up about four people's worth. I don't know how.
I don't understand how that works.
You dug deep?
I did.
You dug deep and you came up with your...
There's a lot there.
Your inner Kevin.
I probably lost 30 pounds that day.
It's the Kevin Ryder diet. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, September the 18th. I'm very excited because tomorrow is the 19th.
Right. And what's the 19th?
Adam West Day.
Oh.
It's his birthday, the 19th. You don't celebrate Adam West Day?
I don't.
Big holiday around my house.
I haven't up until this point.
Tonight we're going to decorate the West tree, and we're going to get our West presents wrapped, sing West carols around the fire.
Oh, your wife is so lucky.
Fred Willard's 80 years old today. Singer Ricky Bell of Belle Biv DeVoe and New Edition is 46 years old. Aisha Tyler is 43. Jada Pinkett Smith turns 42 years old today. Actor James Marsden is 40. Exhibit, the rapper, is 39 years old. And comedian, former SNL alum, Jason Sudeikis, 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, Sarah Shahi will be on the program.
What?
Tomorrow.
She's going to be Sarah in? We got to do shots with Shahi?
She is not going to be in. She's going to be on the phone.
She's a coward.
I'm guessing she's in New York filming Person of Interest, which we will talk about. One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, she's great.
But, we'll talk to her tomorrow.
Well, maybe we'll send her a bottle, and we'll have a bottle here.
I like it.
And we'll just crack them at the same time.
I like it.
We'll do, we'll telecommute our shots.
She insisted on shots with Shahi.
She sure as hell did.
We didn't have a choice, like we would have chosen any other thing. Tickets for the Red Bull Flutog tomorrow, I guess we're going to play. Can Kevin repeat this?
Yes, we are.
Ben Glebe, comedian, will be on the program tomorrow. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew, and we have a brand new internet roundup tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.